There's missing elements in the body of Christ. There's just simply things that are not being done. Now, look again at the possibility of this in the book of Revelation, the church Sardis. Once alive, but then it became dead. Now, it's very important for us to know this because the reason for its dead becoming dead, as Jesus said, was it wasn't doing the works of Jesus anymore. There's a sense that it quit. Now, I've given you before, and I'll give you again, Ephesians 2:10, where God's workmanship were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, that's vital for us. That's vital for what we are. I want you to think of Psalm 103 as we engage today. I want you to think of Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, the mission of Jesus. This is Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts, chapter 3. It's on your workbook. It's page 45. And it's audio 37. It's the introduction part. We've already done that. Audio 36. Audio 37 today is the questions. Just four, I think, that we're going to look over, and then we'll go verse to verse. But I want to read just a portion of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. Now, verse 3 puts the two together. I'm going to tell you very clearly, and we'll take this along the way, healing is in the atonement. Now, glorification is also, and that's yet to come. All that Jesus is, but in him and what he did there at the cross, of course there's healing. And yet, God's always been the healer, Jehovah Rapha. He has always been the healer. So it's important for us to know that God heals, as the Old Testament shows, all, you know, just doing a quick study concerning that. So we're looking at a psalm 3,000 years old, 1,000 years before Jesus came here. And that psalm gives that picture of the healing that he brought to his people, and also the forgiveness of sins. Listen again to verse 3, Psalm 103, who heals all of your diseases. Now it goes on, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now this is an incredible chapter that we can rejoice in and have God speak to us. But let me give you something else here. This is out of Luke's gospel. This is chapter 4. And it is a quote out of Isaiah, chapter 4, Luke's gospel 17, verse 17. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it is written, where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, stop there, and I want you to memorize a verse. I mean, all of these verses would be great, but this is Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17. When you go to Luke 5:17, we'll go there in a second, but I'm telling you that this verse, 5:17, is a real key to all this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. That's the central issue. Now, if you go to the Gospel of Mark, the first thing Jesus does, calls for repentance, turns people towards the gospel. He's preaching the gospel, the good news, salvation. That's the center of everything. But in that chapter, you're going to see him deliver people, cast demons out of individuals, and you're going to see him heal somebody. And I love Mark's gospel as we see Jesus do this, because he is the example. Filled with compassion. Now, I'm speaking to mainly American, and again, I want to say westernized believers, where the majority of the body of Christ praying for healing has not been the norm. Seeing healing has not been the norm. Now, if we don't ask, we don't receive. If we don't believe and we don't practice and we don't pray for and we don't go after healing, you're not going to see it. I mean, think in terms of, and most of us, and most of those taking this course, you want to be on fire for Jesus. You want to win souls. You want to be in the mission. You want to see God do it all. And That's you, but you got to realize, and you probably do, much of the body of Christ has grown in a have grown up, many believers, decades of growing in a subnormal church, Sunday after Sunday, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, and again, some songs, some specials, some announcements, and some preaching, and whether there's an invitation or not, I mean, there's preparation for some things, but it's as if the body of Christ has forgotten all the other things. And as you know, many churches, and they could be 100, they could be 1,000, they could be 5,000, and you find that there's nobody getting saved on, you know, Sunday, nobody being brought in, and almost nobody is a soul winner any longer. So the number one reason why people aren't getting saved, nobody's witnessing and sharing this massive and astounding gospel. That has to happen. And I'm going to say this, when we do God's mission, God's way, by his instruction, appropriating, believing him for all of his presence and power, I believe we're going to see more people than ever getting saved, more demonstration, leading, supernatural guidance, leading, directions, and so forth in that mission. And we're going to see healing because it becomes a norm. You're going to see in Acts chapter 3, it's just automatically now a norm. And that's the way it was through the entire, all the way to Acts chapter 8, where you have a non-apostle, second-generation young believer. So the realization of Jesus at the center, and obviously the gospel is the primary thing. Everybody needs to get saved. God is summoning all people everywhere to repent. And then in there, where healing, it's just automatic. Peter's just going to engage somebody that needs healing. And that's part of what we do. Now, you think in terms of your church, is it set up for, I mean, Sunday, are the prayer warriors ready? Are the altar counselors and elders and everybody, are they all ready with oil and ready to, I mean, it's an automatic thing. Not once a month, not every, 6 months, but it's part of the norm. Worship is norm. We know that. We're massively lacking in the intercession and prayer. That's massively lacking. And almost zero the healing side. And then in the invitation or asking and inviting, like when I pastored, the invitation when we ask it, anybody that has needs, that was a ministry time. Went on for a half hour or more. People can leave, of course, but we invited folks to come to Jesus to get saved. Come forward, there's people here, pastors, elders, trained counselors, elder counselors, we call them. They're all ready to lead somebody to Christ, lead a backslidden believer out of into repentance and yieldedness to Jesus. They're there to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're there to pray for people to appropriate and find their spiritual gifts. They're there to pray for healing. They're there to engage and rebuke any dark spirits. So they're trained for this. So when you have all that trained and you're all ready, can I tell you something? That is an act of faith. If you remember the story in the Gospels where the guys couldn't get into the house. Jesus is in there teaching and speaking, and they couldn't get in there. So their buddy is on a mat. He can't walk. So they go to the top of the house. They're digging. They went digging through the top of the ceiling to lower him down to where Jesus was. They really wanted his friend to get healed, and they knew Jesus could do it. And the scripture says, and Jesus saw their faith, so he healed the man. So he healed the man. Now, I think, again, that's very important for us to realize as we are doing this, salvation by faith, miracles by faith, everything's by faith. That's the book of Galatians where this whole, let me read this to you in chapter 3. Chapter 3 of in verse 3, the Spirit of God guides him. Let me start in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. I want to learn one thing. So that's what he's saying. He's wanting to learn one thing from them. And that is why did they not obey the truth? Keep with the truth. Keep the centrality about Jesus and him crucified. Verse 2, I want to learn only this from you. Did you receive the Spirit through the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Now, this is important to hear, verse 5. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Example, verse 6, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him. So the whole issue here is, it goes back to believing God. It's about faith. So as you take a look at the questions on page 45 of your workbook, how was the visible healing of the man, you know, how was it visible? Well, it was literally in front of everybody. I mean, everybody was around. There was, you know, the disciples, the apostles, if you want to say at this point, were going to a place of prayer. And that's important. They're going to the place of prayer. That now Peter and John went up together to the temple. Now they're going there, and they're just going, and yet as they do go there, there's somebody in need. And so it wasn't that they prayed it all up, planned it all out, everything else. And we're going to see where you can have services that focus. I mean, the entire service should have healing as a norm. All that we do during the week, all that we do during ministry, when I go out evangelizing, we're going out to evangelize. We're going out to engage individuals. And we might meet backslidden believers, got to deal with that. We might be, you know, meet individuals that are lost, preach the gospel and see them get saved. We may, along the way, meet somebody that's sick, so we're going to pray for them. It's a norm. I would ask anybody, and you got to remember this principle. Almost everybody you read in the Gospels that got healed, they got healed before they got saved. The 10 lepers, even. I mean, leprosy. So if we can come back to the norm, the body of Christ, the norm, Jesus healing in all that context of ministry, then we're going to begin to see, once again, that's part of the norm of the church. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now that's central. Then it says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It involves all of that. And that's why I'm saying, as a nutshell to the entire gospel of Mark, look at chapter 1. The declaration of Jesus, here is now God in human flesh, Savior of the world. First thing he does, calls for repentance, announces salvation, which is central. And then in the chapter, he casts out demons, and then he, filled with compassion, he's going to heal somebody. And I want you to know, and maybe this week, you can just really go over that chapter and meditate on that chapter. You got prophecy in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. You got the Messiah, the Savior himself, now engaging and proclaiming ministry. He deals with the unclean spirit, the healing of ministry. And then we have this major, the leper came to him. Are you willing? So I just love verse 41, and we need to memorize it, hold on to it, think about it. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, extended his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, or I am willing, be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy immediately departed from him, and he was cleansed. Let me be very clear. I don't know the physics of how that occurs. I don't need to. I don't have to understand that. All I can tell you is this, Luke's Gospel 5:17. Have you read that? I mean, it's important. You know, there's this incredible picture here. It's on a certain day he was teaching, Jesus was. Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby, had come from every town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Now listen, in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Verse 18, now some men brought in a bed a man who was paralyzed. Now, you're going to see again a demonstration. It is a demonstration of the power of God, of why, you know, he's here. This is a central part. He's healing people left and right. And it's a demonstration to everyone around. It is literally meant even, to, you know, you see the almost always the healed people turn to believe, to follow. Those, you know, delivered from demons obviously do that. So in your notes, page 45, how visible was the healing of the man, at, you know, right there in chapter 3? I mean, how could you miss this? This is where many, many hundreds of people would be coming and going. This would be a normal place where those who had infirmities and were crippled or whatever would be begging and seeking help. And here, as they were going, and I'm going to tell you, as you're going to evangelize, as you're out going to pray, as you're going to workplaces and other places, if we would have all been raised from the beginning when we got saved in churches that clearly did do the healing, you know, we saw healings and we heard about it and we listened and we were taught in leadership and testimonies, all of that builds faith. Now, when the body of Christ, their faith is really low and it's subnormal, hardly anybody's getting saved, nobody's getting healed, they don't even touch deliverance or giftings or even the manifest felt presence and power of God. Now, that is a problem, I think. I think that's a problem for the body of Christ. I think it's a big, huge problem. And so we cannot evaluate all of this. The Word of God and the works of God are inseparable. The Word of God and the power of God. If you remember Jesus dealing with the Pharisees, they didn't know the Word of God nor the power of God. So we must couple again the Word and works, the Word of God and the power of God inseparably together. That brings a great a glorifying of Jesus, and it brings all of that power, presence, work of Jesus in the midst of all that. So very visible. It wasn't in a hidden room anywhere. It just happens. So I don't care wherever I've been. I don't care if it's if I stop at a gas station or, you know, leading somebody to Christ. It doesn't make any difference. We look for the providential doors. We look for the lost to lead them. We're to go to the highways and byways. But all in that process, we might meet somebody depressed and hurting and maybe a demonized person or somebody that needs healing. And we'll do that right away. I mean, Jesus even prayed over a simple fever, a sickness that Peter's mother had. And she got up, healed, and made food for them. So we have to begin to, you know Psalm 103. Don't forget these benefits. Don't forget these things God gives us. Don't forget this. It's heritage. It's alive. God is the healer. God is the savior. God is the deliverer. God is the, he steps in. So we must do this and bring back the church to norm. How visible was that healing? Well, it's for everybody. Undeniable. That's how most all of them occurred. So if, and I did this, I've done this, go through all the Gospels, all the book of Acts, and I highlighted in yellow every single healing, the immediacy, the undeniability. I mean, they couldn't stop. They could not stop the, it was so kind of in your face. And that's not, I mean, the goal was simply just carrying the ministry of Jesus and believing God. And so I'm going to tell you right now, if you take a look at Psalm 103, take a look at Luke's Gospel 4 and the mission of Jesus, take a look at Galatians chapter 3. You know, they grieved the Spirit. They were, the operative power of God is quenched when we go off the Word of God, when we don't obey the Word of God, we don't put it into practice, when we alter it some way with some dumbed-down, half-baked, theology that doesn't fit the Word of God. That has to be renounced denominationally in every single way. It must be renounced. It's not just for this group or that group or this group. We're talking now the Lordship of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the mission of evangelism as seen in the book of Acts is right here in Acts 3. It's demonstrated. Well, on page 45, the second question was this. How did this healing point to Jesus? Well, very clearly, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have, or what I give you, what I have, I do give to you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So please understand the centrality of his name. Notice what Peter didn't do. He didn't take him an offering afterwards. He didn't point to himself. He didn't say we're a bunch of healers. Going out in the, the context that they were going to be pouring out prayer, and I believe for evangelism and ministry, he engages, somebody gets healed, And this is so undeniable. I mean, when you got a healed, a known cripple who's now instantly healed, he's walking, he's jumping, he's praising God. There's noise here. Let me tell you something too. In your when pastors and leaders in churches are now getting back to the norm, and you know, the power of God, the presence of God, power went out of Jesus. Remember that woman that had an issue of blood, and she just figured if she had faith, if she can just go touch him, and she went through the crowd and touched him, he knew power, dunamis. That's dunamis went out. Luke 5:17, the power, the dunamis, the power of the Lord was present. And according to his power that is at work within us, right? Ephesians 3:20-21. So, believer, we must acknowledge the vast lack and neglect. We must stand up again in under the lordship of Jesus, praising him as Savior, as Lord, as healer, as deliverer. And then launch out to do the ministry Jesus and all those disciples did. Every spirit-filled person in the book of Acts was winning souls. And around them, healings occurred again and again. Any demon showing up got cast out and dealt with. And signs and wonders and miracles, and at times an earthquake, and even an angel shows up. So let me say again, the body of Christ is the most supernaturally backed by the hand of God, body on the planet. And you as a believer, same thing. So this is what we must begin. We must stand up to say, Lord, I realize now we've neglected so much of the grace of God. You know, if you never talk about spiritual gifts, never seek, never appropriate, never begin to see them being used, there are believers 10 years, 20 years old, they don't know what their spiritual gifts are. They've never led anybody to Christ. If I ask them, when's the last time you got an answer to prayer, they have to think hard. I'm saying day by day, the living Savior, day by day, the power of God, every single day, his mercies are new. Today is the day the Lord has made. Right now, as you listen, the rest of the day, God can answer prayer. God can save souls. And if you and I are standing up, clothed in the power of the Spirit of God, and we're stepping out, well, in all that we do, I don't care if I'm going to a restaurant. I don't care if I'm going to the grocery store or anywhere else, or the motorcycle shop. You'll find me, there's doors that just simply open. You pray for that ahead of time. So it becomes the norm. You're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You're filled with the joy of the Lord. You're filled with the love of Christ. You're filled with the desire and passion to win others. And when you see depressed people and hurting people, you go minister to them. You pray for them. You pray off oppression. You pray for them to be healed. You ask them if you can touch their shoulder and just simply pray for them. I'll talk more about all this. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the body of Christ because Jesus taught that principle in John's gospel. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing and even greater things than these. That's huge. We'll take a look at that verse later on. In your notes again, how did this point? Well, he did it. Jesus did it. In his name it occurred. We pray in his name. Answers come in his name. We're saved by his name. Demons are cast out in his name, the name Jesus. You do know that all the Old Testament names of God, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Yahweh, all those names are now embodied in Jesus. When you say Jesus, you're saying all of them. Healer, Savior, Deliverer, God, Almighty God, God in human flesh. And so it's appointing to that. Obviously. And so, when we pray for the healing of others, or we cast demons out, or we pray and powerful things occur by God, we point to Jesus. We glorify Jesus. The guy that got healed was praising God. I mean, there's no question. He wasn't praising the disciples. We point to Jesus. Now, there's also another question. How did Peter use this healing? Well, he used it by pointing again, and eventually you're going to see in that chapter, preaching Jesus, quoting the Old Testament, going to the prophets. He used it evangelistically. So I'm going to say again, all the healings that occur point to Jesus. If they're not saved, lead them to Christ. Anybody else, point to Jesus. Pray for everybody. Listen, God will do a lot of things. We can receive grace upon grace as we read, blessing upon blessing as we read in the Gospel of John. God's not just wanting to throw out, it's like, well, in the last month, one person got saved and a person kind of got healed. That's enough for the month. That's crazy thinking. You want many people saved. We want, as a whole, the body of Christ, worldwide, hundreds of millions are going to get saved. Across America, tens of millions yet to get saved. Massive ministry, massive things. You're going to lead hundreds. You're going to see the hand of God. You're going to see the power of God as you launch. Believe God, step out. Believe God, step out. And use, when God does things in power, you point to Jesus, you point to salvation, you point to the Word of God. It all goes together. Another question here on that one page, 45, how did Peter use the prophets in the message? Well, obviously, that's what they had. He didn't have the New Testament yet. He quoted the Old Testament. He quoted that in the context of the of what God has done. Listen to one part of that. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You have, listen to this, you killed the creator of life, whom God has raised from the dead, which we are all witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, referring to Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and faith which comes through him, Jesus, which has given him perfect health in your presence. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't stop. And it's amazing to me that there are still, you know, some that are, no matter what they see, they're not going to believe. But you know what? That's not our issue. Our issue is to believe and launch out. Our issue is to believe God. What are you going to believe? I mean, how do you want to live your daily life? When you rise, acknowledge him. When you rise, praise him. When you rise, this is the day the Lord has made. When you rise, mercy's new today. When you rise, the same Jesus today as every day. Savior, healer, deliverer, helper, guide, empower, speak to us, sanctify us, guide us, direct us, show, use gifting, send, stretch out your hands. We're going to see that in Acts 4. And it's part of the norm. Russ Dizdar, Book of Acts. See you next one.